Wow, thank you so much. That last song was, I hadn't heard that before. Is that a new one? Awesome. See, new music is continued to be written, and I love that. Awesome. Maybe we'll hear it again before this Holy Spirit series is over. Turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. In the world of sports, entertainment, business, now and then you'll hear that, you know, somebody has it. If you watched a little bit over the weekend, the NFL draft took place, and that's always a big hype if you enjoy that. And there were several people chosen, and you would hear the announcers from time to time say, that particular quarterback or that particular wide receiver has it. There's just something about that person has that it factor that we think they're going to do well playing at the next level. Maybe it's in business or entertainment. Maybe there's an actor or an actress or a CEO that just has it. Steve Jobs with Apple all of those years, you know, before he passed away at an early age, really seemed to have it when it came to producing computers and putting together something that the public wanted and could use. Well, the same is true in the kingdom of God. There is a spiritual it factor. There's just something about a person, a believer, that has it, where they're able to function at a different level. In this case, that it is available to all of us. The it is the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Do you have that it factor? The fact of the matter is, if you are a believer, you've been baptized in the Spirit and you have it. The question is the Holy Spirit resident or is the Holy Spirit president? And our goal during these next several weeks as we march through the spring into the summer will be to introduce you or reacquaint you with, or whatever the case may be, with the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Let me read a few verses and we'll work our way. This is our introductory message, beginning with chapter 16, verse 7. Now remember, let's put context here. I always like to give you context. Jesus and his disciples are in the upper room. This is the night before the crucifixion, okay? So now you know. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe me, and concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer see me, and concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you would add your blessings to the reading of your word. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be pleasing in thy sight. O Lord, my rock and my Redeemer, in Christ's name, amen. I remember almost 30 years ago, probably it was about 30 years ago, brand new pastor. I was at Smith Mills, Kentucky, Mount Pleasant Baptist Church, and a knock came on the door one Saturday morning, and it was a Jehovah Witness. Anybody ever have a Jehovah Witness knock on your door? Probably half of us, most of us in this room, and there would be times when I would just politely decline the opportunity, but there was just something about this day. I was a brand new preacher on the field, and he had his little son with him, and I thought, we'll talk for a while. So I listened to his presentation, and then I said, I'm interested in what you have to say about the Holy Spirit. Oh, but through him, Holy Spirit. He kind of flipped through the back of his Bible and he said, oh, you mean You mean active force or life force? You can Google this if you want to know how the Jehovah. And I'm not here to put down any faith. And we know it's not a true faith, but I'm not here to do that. But I'm telling you that it threw him. Active force, life force. I said, no, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, God, the third member of the Trinity, as we'll see here in a moment. And it really threw him. And I really think in many ways he was never able to get on track again. I think one reason that, we're a little afraid of the Holy Spirit. This is one case where I think the translators got it wrong. A Holy Ghost. That's a translation, and I think ghost gives a negative thought to the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is not a ghost, if you will. We'll go into details about what that means. And so I came up with this little book, The Spiritual It Factor. By the way, it's in the back of the room. I was pleased to look. When I came in today, there was only one copy left. That means you took a bunch of them last week. So I refilled. They're back out there. I urge you to get one. They're $5. Do I get the money? No, it goes to the church budget or whatever it might be. Incidentally, I got to tell you a little story. For those of you, there may be one or two skeptics in the crowd. I bet that preacher, I bet he's making money on those books. You know, it's a nice suit he's got on there. I mean, driving a nice car. I think he's making money on that. I got to tell you, I was looking at my bank balance. You know, we do that online now, right? I saw a deposit. You see, my bank, they're so good for people like me who can't see too well anymore. They put my deposit in bold print. Anybody's bank? I saw one that said, 2 cents, pending. 2 cents, 0.02, pending, meant, you know, we'll post it tomorrow. Well, guess what? I got back on the next day, and what, you know what it was? Amazon, Mike. I made 2 cents this month off of the sale of my book, so, you know. But actually, you know what? I was encouraged by that. I thought, somebody bought a book. Hopefully somebody will get a blessing. Yes, thank you, I will. Two pennies are out there in my car somewhere. And I'm not making fun. Actually, it was great. I'm glad it happened. I'm glad that happened because it humbles me and it shows me that this is all God's venture. It's not mine. But back to the Holy Spirit. I'm kicking things off today with a message called the It, who is actually a he. Is that correct English? That sounds like difficult to say. The it who is actually a he. It's not it. Have you seen people, you know, they're out walking and there's a new baby and, oh, it's such a cute baby. It's not an it. It's either a he or a she, but it's not it. The Holy Spirit, even though he is the spiritual it factor, he's not it. Did you know that? He's he. And we'll talk about that in a moment. Let's talk first about the necessity of the Holy Spirit. This is not an option. This is an absolute necessity. Remember what Lottie Moon said? She wrote back to her friends and said, pray for me that while I'm ministering among this difficult people, that I will be filled and anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit, because it's not an option. It is a necessity. Jesus said in verse 7, it is to your advantage. I love this. Don't miss this. Jesus said in verse 7, it is to your advantage that I go away. Folks, doesn't that create a cause to pause for you? It is to your advantage that I go away. What could be better than having Jesus living among you for 3 years? What could be better than that? Can you imagine being one of those original disciples or people that walked around and ministered with him? He was there for meals. You were there to watch him feed the 5,000 and turn water into wine. You were there at night when you just had casual conversations around the fireplace, the fire or whatever it might be. He was your friend. He was your teacher. He was your savior. What could be better than that? What could be better than if you break here and you go into your Sunday school class and you go in there and Jim, we're with all those men, you look over there and you said, I've not seen that man before. He looks a little, what? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. What could be better than that? Well, I'm telling you what, there is something better than that. Because while Jesus walked on earth, listen to me, when he walked on earth, he told the disciple this because he was totally God, but he was totally man. He was limited by his humanity. Do you understand what I mean by that? Despite everything that Jesus could do while he walked on the earth, he could not be two places at once. You'll never find in the Gospels that he was in Jerusalem and Jericho at the same time. No, that did not happen, because even though he was 100% God, he was 100% man, and he was limited by his earthly body. Could not be in two places at once. And so, he said, it is to your advantage that I leave you. And the advantage was that 10 days after the resurrection, Pentecost took place, right? And then what happened? Flames of fire, a mighty rushing wind, the Holy Spirit came, 3,000 souls were added to the kingdom, and the Holy Spirit came and initiated and inaugurated the Spirit age. And you know what? It's still happening. Let this encourage you. 2,000 years later, it's still happening. Names are continuing to be added to the Lamb's Book of Life. The Holy Spirit is at work. The Holy Spirit is a necessity. It is a good thing. It is a good thing that Jesus ascended back to the Father, because he sent the Holy Spirit. He inaugurated the Spirit age. The church was birthed, and it's been spreading ever since. John chapter 14, verse 12, the Bible says, truly I say to you, he who believes in me, listen to this, folks, it gets even better. It gets even better. Listen to me, folks. I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do, and greater works than these. Jesus laid the groundwork. He said, you can do even greater works than I have done. Why? Five words. Why did he say you can do that? Because I go to the Father. I'm going to the Father. I'm going to take my rightful place at his right hand. And the Holy Spirit is going to come. And wow, you've never seen anything like what you're going to see at that point on. So do you see the necessity of the Holy Spirit? Don't look at this as though this is some kind of option. Don't look at this as like some kind of smorgasbord. Well, I'll take a little Jesus, and I'll take a little God, but I don't think I want to have anything to do with the Holy Spirit. You better, because he wants to have everything to do with you, right? Don't just be content with having the Holy Spirit being resident. I want him to be president, don't you? And that can happen, and that can happen. And it must happen. So we talked about the necessity of the Holy Spirit. It was D.L. Moody who said, you might as well try to see without ears, see without eyes, hear without ears, or breathe without lungs, as to try to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. So there's the necessity. I hope, if nothing else from this message, you'll see the necessity of the third member of the Trinity being active, not only in you, but through you. All right, let's talk about the identity. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. You see, there is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, Holy Spirit. He is God, okay? We make a big emphasis, you know, in my preaching, and I hope in your faith, you see Jesus is God, right? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. In Christ, all the fullness of deity exists in bodily form. It's true of the Holy Spirit as well. He's God. You having trouble? Anybody have trouble with this concept of the Trinity? The word never appears in the Bible as such. And the word Trinity is not in the Bible. You can look it up, but it's written on every page, symbolically speaking. What do I have here? No, I won't do that. I've seen different examples, pretzels and this and that, but I think the best one I've seen so far is the egg. What is this? The egg, right? What makes up the egg? There is the shell, there is the yolk, and there is the egg white, right? The shell, the yolk, the egg white, right? There is the Godhead. There is the Trinity. What makes up the Trinity? Who makes up the Trinity? God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Third member of the Trinity. That is his identity. We could go on. That's a quick second point. I actually look at it probably slid under point one or point three, but I put it there separate because that's how important I think it is. All right? So we're about halfway through. Time's flying by. Let's take a deep breath. All right? The Holy Spirit. Maybe this is new to some of you. The necessity. The Holy Spirit is not an option. The Holy Spirit is not an appendix. He needs to be right there president in your life. And then there is the identity. The Holy Spirit, He is God. Now let's talk about the deity. All right. I've already mentioned, that's why I told you this could easily be, this is like really an expansion of point two. But let's talk about the deity of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. Now let me give you a little example, scripturally speaking. You may ask, how can I say this? How can I say the Holy Spirit is God? Preacher, where do you get that? Well, I'll go to Acts chapter 5. Do you remember when Ananias and Sapphira sold a field and they kept back some of the money? Listen to what Peter says. Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And yet after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to whom? God. So verse 3, there's a reference to the Holy Spirit. And in verse 4, there's a reference to God. Why the difference, preacher? There is no difference. It's part of the Godhead. He's part of the Godhead. Because He is God, He possesses all of the attributes of God. Did you hear that? Because the Holy Spirit is God, He possesses all of the attributes of God. Let's go through here. Let me just do a little review of those. What are the attributes of God that are also attributes of the Holy Spirit? One is, He is eternal. You say, well, I know God's eternal, but the Holy Spirit, He's eternal? Yeah, in Scripture, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14 says, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, not just the Spirit, but the eternal Spirit, offered Himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Let me just, this is total review, but I love this so much. Some of you, there's probably at least one or two people here that haven't heard it. Line and Ray. Remember, anybody remember my Line Ray illustration? you math people, what's the difference in a line and an array? Here's a line, right? There's no beginning, there's no end. Here's an array, right? There's no beginning, there's a beginning, there's no end. Contrary to some faiths, I do not believe that we had a pre-existing life. Some faith teaches that. Now, God knew about us from all time, but there was a time that your soul began to live. Did you hear me? There was a time when your soul began. But guess what? There's never going to be a time when your soul ends. Did you know that? So the person that says, I don't want to hear any of this religious stuff, I don't want to hear about Jesus, fine. Stay lost. But you have no choice in the matter. Because if you don't receive Jesus Christ, you die, you go to hell, separated from God from all eternity. You see, there is a beginning, but there is no end. Some people believe, I've seen this, it's called the doctrine of annihilation. Have you heard about that? That's some stuff. That's some false stuff floating around. That means when you die, lights out. Charlie and I knew a man, great man. Wealthy businessman, smart, he'd accomplished so much. What happens when you die, George? Lights out. Shut the curtain. Oh, don't you wish it was that way for some people? For the person who rejects God for all of life, don't they wish? It's not going to happen. There's no doctrine of annihilation. 100 million years from now, you're still going to be alive. Your soul will. And hopefully, you'll be in the presence of Jesus Christ and the saints. And the Holy Spirit, I've got news for you, He'll be there as well. He is eternal. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. Did you know that? All of the power that God possesses, the Holy Spirit possesses. How about that, preacher? Where are you getting? Okay, let's go back 2,000 years ago to Nazareth. That little village between Jerusalem and the Sea of Galilee. A young teenage girl was cleaning up around the house, sweeping and making bread and tending to the house while her husband was out working busily in the carpenter's shop. And what happened? Gabriel came for a visit, didn't he? And Gabriel said, Mary, you're highly favored. Mary, you're going to give birth to the Savior of the world. That's how favored you are. And what did Mary say? How can this be? How can this be? And Gabriel said what? The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Did you get that? How can this be? I've never had relations with a man. I'm engaged to be married to Joseph out there in the carpenter shop, but how can this be? Because the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. He's all powerful. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? And guess what else? He's all knowing. He knows everything. He's got the very hairs of your head numbered, Mike, and I'm so jealous of Mike. With that nice full head of hair there, look at that, man. Mine is decreasing by the day, and Mike just seems to grow more hair. Look at that. Either case, the Holy Spirit has them numbered, right, doesn't He? He knows everything. There's nothing He doesn't know. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of the man? Listen to this. Who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit, small, lowercase, of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except what? The Spirit of God. So you have a spirit in you. You know your thoughts, don't you? Would you want your thoughts cast up on that screen? Oh, Lord, have mercy. I wouldn't either. I remember a seminary professor once who I highly esteemed. I thought he was the greatest man. He said, oh, if you saw a computer printout of my thoughts during the day, you wouldn't think so highly of me. And the same would certainly be true of me. God knows your thoughts too. Did you know that? How the Holy Spirit does. He knows your thoughts even before you think them. Because he is omnipresent. He's here. He's a few miles down the road at the First Baptist Church in Atlanta. They're going to have a great service over there today. And he's a few miles down the road in that direction at Dunwoody. And all of these churches, all around the land, and everywhere, not just the churches. Why? Because he is omniscient. And he's also, as I've said, he's omnipresent. Everywhere. All-knowing. Everywhere. David said, I love this. David in Psalm 139. You could turn to this if you wanted, if I read it. David, he's everywhere. Psalm 139, verses 7 and following, the Bible says, where can I go from your spirit? This is David asking. In case you just ever thought, man, I got to hide out for a while, right? You ever felt like that? I got to hide out. I want to get off the grid. I don't want to encounter anybody, anything. Leave me alone. Well, you can run, but you cannot hide, can you? Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. You can't hide from God and his Holy Spirit. He's everywhere. Because he is omni. See what I mean when I say that? Omnipresent. There's a little something I want to read to you. I know we don't always want people to read to us, but I do want to read this to you. This was from a saint from out of the past. The deity of the Holy Spirit ought to be clearly recognized in Scripture. Christ is born. The Spirit is his forerunner. Christ is baptized. The Spirit bears witness. Christ is tempted. The Spirit leads him up. Christ ascends. The Spirit. Christ ascends. The Spirit takes his place. What great things are there in the character of God which are not found in the Spirit? What titles which belong to God are not also applied to him? He is called the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of adoption, of truth, of liberty, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, of counsel, of might, of knowledge, of godliness, of the fear of God. This only begins to show how unlimited he is. Isn't that awesome? Oh, and that Holy Spirit, if you got saved, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you received him, that Holy Spirit came to live within you. Isn't that amazing? One final point before we close out. What have we talked about? We've talked about the necessity of the Holy Spirit. He's not an option. He doesn't want to be merely resident. He wants to be president. And then we talked about the identity of the Spirit. I showed you the egg, right? God. We talked about the deity and all the attributes. Let's close with this and then we'll be done. Let's talk about the personality of the Holy Spirit. We'll close with this. The personality of the Holy Spirit. You see, he's not it. He's he, okay? And the Holy Spirit possesses intellect. Did you know that? What do you mean by that? I mean, we said the greatest teacher who ever lived was who? Who was the greatest teacher? But I'm speaking in past tense, right? Because who is the greatest teacher who ever taught on earth? Who was it? Jesus. But remember, where is he now? He's at the right hand of the Father, isn't he? Interceding on our behalf. But what happened? The Holy Spirit came. This is review, folks. This is review. The Holy Spirit came. And what is one of the things, and we're going to talk about this in more detail later, what is the one thing that he does? He teaches. Jesus said, he's going to remind you of all of the stuff that Jesus talked about for 3 years. They didn't have tape recorders, did they? They probably didn't even take notes. In their humanness, they probably forgot 90% of what he ever told them. But who was there to help them? The Holy Spirit, to remind them. I'm teaching you today, but not to the level the Holy Spirit is teaching you. And he's going to remind you of these things later. Are you with me on that? Because the Holy Spirit has intellect. And it matters. It matters how you think and what you learn. And he's there to help teach you. You hear these things, a preacher, this is just too much. I just don't know. Well, the Holy Spirit will take this and he will distill it and he will break it down. He will give you small little bites that you can chew and thoughts that you can absorb, all right? A couple more minutes. What else? What are we talking about the Holy Spirit? His personality. He's emotional. Did you know that? What does Paul say? Paul says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. You know why Paul says that? Because the Holy Spirit is very, very sensitive. He's not going to hang around. Now, he'll go any place you take him because he's living within you. But he's not going to hang around an area where he's not welcome, right? I remember a lady told me, this is up in the hills of Arkansas, years ago, ladies, she said, I used to go to that church, but I don't go there anymore. They ran me off. She said, they told me I chased the spirit away. I doubt that happened, but bless her heart. But she was acute. We could, I mean, there's churches that all around us, aren't they, that the spirit isn't welcome? You don't want the Holy Spirit here because we're going to get convicted. And we're going to have to confess. And we're going to shed some tears. And we're going to have to change some things. And we don't want to do that, do we? Oh, you want to? I'll tell you a song. I don't know if it would fit, Chip, your style up here. But anybody know Babby Mason? Raise your hand if you know who Babby Mason is. You need to YouTube between now and next time we meet. She came over to Dallas. She'd come here. Y'all just book her. She'd love to come. She lives over in Bremen. She probably lives, you know, an hour and a half from here. But she sings a song, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. And maybe we'll put it on YouTube sometime. I love that. You ever heard it? Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. That's like her opening song. Used to be. I think that was a long time ago. What is that saying? Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. We gather here humbly before you, yearning for you to do a work in our life. You with me on that? The Holy Spirit is emotional. But I tell you what, you can grieve him. You can shake him off. He'll come back. Because he's all forgiving, but anyway, one more point and we're done. Not only is he emotional, he has a will. You know any strong-willed people? The Holy Spirit has a will. Did you know that? Let me give you an example and then we're done. Do you remember Paul and two of his colleagues, during their second missionary journey, were headed to a place called Bithynia. We are going to Bithynia. We're going to go there and we're going to stamp out lostness in Bithynia. That's our plan. We're going. Did they go there? Who knows their Bible? Did they go there? Maybe later, I don't know. But not then. Why? Where did they go? Where did they go? Starts with an M. Macedonia. Paul. And I'm doing a little sanctified imagination here. Paul. No go. You plan to go to Bithynia. But the Holy Spirit stopped them. Read it. Look it up. And that call, that Macedonian call, said, you need to come and help us. And they did. And it all worked out. The spiritual it factor. And you know, you'll never be able, I'll tell you this, you'll never be able to go out any Sunday and say, that preacher, all he did was talk about the Holy Spirit. Where does Jesus fit in all this? Because center of it. Spirit, let me tell you, this is how you know it's real. The Holy Spirit will never usurp the position rightfully reserved for Christ. You see, they're all the same. That's what makes it hard for some people to understand. And yes, there are different roles. It's when people decide, we're tired of God, we're tired of Jesus, we're going to just talk about the Holy Spirit from now on. That's when they get themselves in trouble. So we began a journey that we're going to be on for the next several weeks, and I hope you'll be in prayer, read the book, come and read the, hear the messages. If you miss them, go on YouTube and get them. This could be a life-changing experience. My prayer for you is that from this point forward, if the Holy Spirit is resident but not present, that's all going to change. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you the Holy Spirit is in this place. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. Forgive us for where we failed you. Forgive us for so many times when we grieve you. Oh, we've chased you away, Holy Spirit, with our little carnal thoughts and selfish ways. Please forgive us. Cleanse us. Guide us now, especially in this service, in this building today, in Jesus' name.